The Arkansas legislature convenes today to begin its fiscal legislative session, where it will vote on the state budget and reapprove appropriations for the year. There are several big questions waiting to be answered by this group of lawmakers. To see what the answers may be, we have Roby Brock of Talk Business Arkansas, also a KUAR contributor, here with us this morning. Roby, the private option, Arkansas's compromise of the Medicaid expansion, is getting a lot of talk going in. The House Speaker says it will come up early because its fate will have a major impact on the state's budget, which will also have to be reapproved. What do you think are the odds it will be continued?
Well, I think a couple of weeks ago, the odds were that this was maybe dead on arrival and it didn't have a chance of passing. And lately, we've heard more conversation about that it may have a 50-50 chance of passing. I actually think its odds are a little bit better, and here's why. You have got a lot of very conservative members, I would consider them Tea Party Republicans, who are adamantly opposed to anything dealing with the federal health care law. Not all of them have closed the door, though, on possibly voting for a funding reauthorization for the private option. If they can get some exceptions and commitments for exceptions in 2015 for changes to the private option law, such as means testing for private option recipients to make sure people that have enough income to pay aren't abusing the plan. I think that there are some things like that that will be discussed once they get into the halls of the Capitol up there. And if they can kind of cut some deals to say, we'll deal with that in 2015 if you'll vote for it in 2014, I think it will improve the chances of getting that 75% threshold, which they're very close to in both the House and the Senate.
So, and you were referring to some of the political implications for some of the more conservative Republican members of the legislature. The importance of this deal may even sway their political leanings.
Yeah, and what you have, I mean, Democrats are pretty much in lockstep in favor of the private option, and the Republicans are where the split is. And so the more conservative elements of the Republican Party, particularly the Tea Party Republicans, are the ones that are pretty much opposed to this, or at least not as open-minded as the more establishment or what you think of as the traditional Republicans in terms of business Republicans. And those business Republicans, though, however, are very fearful that they're going to get a primary challenge from someone more conservative to them. And what we've seen in some recent Arkansas GOP primaries is that more conservative members can win those elections. And so it's going to be a little bit of a political roll of the dice for them to decide, do I stay consistent with my vote from last year and do it again and say I'm a principled conservative and I stuck to my guns, or do they switch their votes? I think they still get primary opposition no matter what they do, so they ought to stick to their guns if they want to kind of stay true to what they believe.
What may come of tax cuts should the private option not make it and federal funding is not accepted?
Well, Governor Beebe has said that obviously the savings from the private option, and the savings are there, this $89 million, because they're taking people off of what the state has been using its Medicaid dollars for and putting them in this federal expansion Medicaid money. That has saved the state $89 million that it would have to match to use federal funds. So they're able to use 100% of the expansion funds instead of this match money that they traditionally use. Governor Beebe says that $89 million goes away if you move those people back into Medicaid. You don't have that that savings. I think that the Republicans that I've talked to say that they don't feel like the income tax cuts were part of a deal for the private option, although it was quite the conversation in 2013. And so I think that they'll hold true on those tax cuts, and they'll just try to let growth revenue with the state make up that $89 million difference.
Funding for overcrowded county jails could be in jeopardy without the private option in place. How might that affect the debate?
Well, again, I think they'll be robbing couch cushions to find the amount of change that they need to make up this money that they need for prisons. They're looking for paying back in terms of millions of dollars to the county jails that are housing some of these state inmates right now. They're looking at another $8 million possibly just to study the construction of a new prison. And then they'd have to obviously find money for the construction of that prison, which is a $50, $60 million proposition. And then you got ongoing costs, too. I just don't see how, with the parole scandal that we've had over the last year and all that high profile that it's brought with it, I don't see how they don't find money to advance more funding for prisons or to shore up this this prison overcrowding problem. And I think if that means shaving something off of the Department of Heritage budget or shaving something off of higher education, I think that's where they'll go to find that money that they need to cobble together, enough money to handle this prison situation that they've been dealing with.
And, of course, this is all leading up to an election later this year. Could political concerns play a role in votes this fiscal session?
No, no way. Politics in an election year? No. Well, I mean, I mentioned earlier that you've got the vote on the private option has got ramifications for the Republican primaries. You've got conservative Republicans that may challenge, you know, more moderate Republicans in those primaries if they on that vote for the private option. And it's a winning issue in Republican primaries. So that, I think, is really the biggest kind of political football that's going to come out of this session. And I think that wherever that vote lands, that's where you're going to watch those races with Republicans that live in districts where they could see challengers. And we've already seen some come to the head.
And the House could vote to remove restrictions on campaign fundraising during the fiscal session for candidates for federal office. This specifically is two House members who would be affected. That's Representatives Bruce Westerman and Ann Clemmer. The change would make the rules more similar to those in the Senate, where members are allowed to fundraise during the fiscal session. Will this pass the House? And if it does, could it change anything for either of those candidates?
Well, let me answer the second part of your question first. Could it change anything for either of those candidates? I don't think that Representative Bruce Westerman or Representative Ann Clemmer are going to benefit a whole lot by being able to fundraise in just 1 month's time. I mean, neither one of them have posted huge numbers so far. They've been averaging about $100,000 for the quarter in the previous quarters. And so I don't think it really takes them off of their track too much on that. What typically happens when you have these kind of stalls in the fundraising process is everybody kind of waits and gives their check after the session, or they get it before the session. And so the money is still going to roll in during the quarter. It's just a timing issue. So I don't see it being a big change there. To your first question, though, I don't think that the rule will necessarily pass. Number one, when you look at all the ethics scandals we've had over the last 2 years between Representative Hudson Hallam, State Treasurer Martha Schaffner, Senator Paul Bookout, most recently Republican Lieutenant Governor Mark Dar. This is a loosening of the ethics rules if they're to pass this rule, and I just don't think there's going to be a big appetite out there for making that kind of statement to the general public, particularly a week before the filing period opens for public office. It could become another campaign issue for someone that advocates for it or votes for it.
And speaking of ethics, Mark Dar recently left office. Senate President Pro Tem Michael Lamoureux is taking some of his duties. What effect could this have on the session?
Well, I don't think it'll have a big effect on the session, although there will be some debate about the staff of the Lieutenant Governor's office. Do they need to stay there? Should they be reassigned somewhere else? Should the budget for the rest of the fiscal year for that office, which ends June 30th, should that be the end of those office employees' employment? I think there will be a debate on that, and because there's some partisan points to be scored there. Democrats can make Republicans look like you say you're against big government or growing government, yet you won't let these employees go when they have nothing to do, apparently. And so I think Senator Lamoureux winds up, you know, trying to find some roles for them to help him in some sort of expanded duties that he has as acting governor when Governor Beebe leaves the state, which is what the lieutenant governor would do. And there's a little bit of precedent there. They left the staff intact for Lieutenant Governor Win Rockefeller when he passed away. So it'll be a debate. I really don't have a great feel for how it plays out. I've heard from Republicans and Democrats that have the same and different positions. So it doesn't seem to kind of split along party lines even. It just seems to be Democrats who think it's okay to keep them and Democrats who think it's okay to not keep them, and also Republicans that are split on the issue. So I think what's more relevant about what Senate President Lamoureux said the other day in putting out that statement about kind of overseeing that office was what he's not going to do. If he becomes acting governor, he made a very clear distinction to say that He was not going to utilize the services of the Arkansas State Police. He was not going to sign legislation into effect, even though he might have that power at some point during the fiscal session. He was not going to take the salary of the lieutenant governor's office. And he basically said he wasn't going to take any action unless requested by the governor's office in some sort of coordinated fashion. And I think that would be some sort of emergency situation where the governor was incapacitated or out of state. And I think that was a pretty firm statement for him to make, to say, I'm not going to abuse this authority that I'm going to inherit. And I think that speaks pretty well of him.
Roby Brock of Talk Business Arkansas, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You can hear Roby Brock here on 89.1 KUAR weekly, Monday evenings at 6 and Fridays at 4:44. You can also find the full version of this interview at KUAR.org.